drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome on in to the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000. It's all brought to you by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan, we talk golf with you every single Saturday right here on ESPN 1000. I'm in our old National Bank State Street studios. Mike is in the candy store today. He is out at PGA Tour Superstore, their new location in Lincoln Park, opening today. And from everything you were telling me, Mike, it is a highly anticipated open of the new PGA Tour Superstore today.
Well, good morning, Tyler, and good morning, everybody in Chicago. Yes, down here for the grand opening. Ribbon cutting is at 9 a.m., and when we pulled up here at 6:45 this morning, there was a line of almost 100 people, and I talked to the first few people in line. They arrived here midnight on Wednesday because of the things that are being given away here, the prizes, the unknowns. They're giving away $30,000 worth of prizes. Wow. Throughout the day. I mean, we're talking sets of irons. I mean, plural. We're talking big-time drivers, the Callaways, the Stealths. I mean, this place reminds me of your house at Christmas. I mean, it is decked out. Everything is fully stocked. I mean, from floor to ceiling. You know, it's the old adage, you know, stack it high, watch them buy, stack it low, it'll never go. Well, everything here is stacked to the ceiling. It's robust. It's got all kinds of Ryder Cup merchandise here. And the amazing part about this superstore, Tyler, they have 8 practice bays on the second floor, plus a putting green up there. So you can shop downstairs, practice upstairs. And in my opinion, you may not ever want to leave here. If they just serve food and beverage, you'd never have to leave.
That's fantastic. What's the best thing you've seen in the store so far?
Well, they haven't let anybody in yet. They're gonna start letting people in at around 8:45. But I mean, honest to God, the line goes all the way out to Fullerton from the front door. It is the most unbelievable. It's like we're giving away, you know, Taylor Swift concert tickets or something here. But yeah, I mean, there are PGA superstar or superstore groupies. And these guys are big fans, and they let me know that as I was walking in, and they pleaded like, heck, can we get in with you? But, no, there's a lot of anxious people waiting to come in. PGA Superstore has flown up. A ton of their executives are up from Atlanta up here for this opening. This is going to be probably their busiest and best store because, let's face it, there is no other store like this in the city. And this, what really makes this site really special is they have parking. They have lots of free parking, and that is big time here in Chicago. So, wonderful location right off of Fullerton, 1745 West Fullerton, PGA Superstore. If you're a golfer and you've got nothing going on today, here is the place to be without question. And if you're thinking about early Christmas, this is the place to be. If there's any, you know, golfers in the family with birthdays between now and, you know, whenever, they have everything. There is no way you can come in here and say that they're out of anything because they've got everything. So it's pretty cool.
I've said it before. I've exited off the Fullerton stop many times, and I drive by it. And the first time I drove by it, and the sign was on the marquee of the little shopping mall that it's in, I was like, has there always been a PGA Tour Superstore here? Have I just been missing this every single time I drive here? But then you confirmed to me, yes, this is indeed new, and it is opening today. So get on over there. It'll be a great time. And as Mike said, they've got a ton of stuff there. Anything you could want for the golfer in your life, you can find it over at the PGA Tour Superstore, 1745 West Fullerton, right off of the Fullerton exit there. All right, Mike, let's get into what's going on around the world of golf professionally right now. And I think Americans probably feeling a little rejuvenated right now about some of their Ryder Cup hopes. Maybe some people feeling a little bit dicey about how they thought this thing would transpire over in Rome, given some of the captain's picks. But over at the Fortinet Championship, Justin Thomas yesterday in round two fires a 5-under round. He's currently tied for sixth at 8-under after a great round yesterday. But more importantly, he hit 17 out of 18 greens in regulation yesterday. If this is the JT that we're going to see over in Rome, wow, like America's chances of winning this thing just went way up.
Couldn't agree with you more. And I bet Zach Johnson, among a lot of other Americans, are breathing a big, big, big sigh of relief. Because just to your point, he hit, 17 out of 18. His putter is acting like it normally would. And you know what was more promising for me, which told me a good story, was the 3-under he had in round one. But he hit the driver terribly. He hit less than half the fairways. He was 100th in strokes gained off the tee. The driver is really what has been his downfall all season, as he's 132nd in driving accuracy in 2023. But here's what happened. He manufactured a round when he needed to. Even with a bad driver, he still goes out and goes 3-under, corrects it, and now is playing like the JT we know. And I'm going to tell you something. A guy like that who's exhibiting that kind of scoring, prowess and skill sets is showing me he is still a great match player because he's able to get that ball in the hole no matter what is going on with his game and still score. And I think Rory said it best earlier this week when he said, that's the guy we do not want to have to face when we play match play. So he considered Zach's pick a no-brainer. And after watching what he's doing in the first two rounds, I'd say the Americans' hopes are only getting stronger, and I would think that Vegas odds would probably show a little bit more towards the Americans being favored, but you're the expert when it comes to that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. In fact, it's actually moved the other way. I think the last time we checked in, the U.S. was minus 115. They have shrunk down to minus 110. So maybe you're feeling a little bit better about that now, even though the Vegas odds are steaming the other way here. But I would say that if this is the JT you're going to get, he has a chance to make Captain Zach Johnson look like an absolute genius, the smartest guy in the room, if he goes out there and balls out over in Europe. Because not only is he a guy with experience, not only is he kind of this captain of vibes over there, but they need him to be swinging the stick well as well. And if he's going to perform like this, then I think you're feeling pretty good about America's chances, especially knowing that on the European side, you're not getting anybody over from the LIV Tour. Guys like Sergio, Ian Poulter, all that, they're not going to be participating in this. And in an event, even though it is on European soil, this is going to be an event where I think experience is going to play a large factor, and the Americans have a heavy, heavy advantage in that department now.
Yeah, and I would say to you, what's worse than having to play against Justin Thomas? Having to play against a very confident Justin Thomas. And that's what I think we're going to get. And, I would only put that the odds at Vegas have gone down a little bit or less in the Americans' favor, only due in part probably because of how well the Europeans are actually playing at the BMW Championship on the DP World Tour. They're all firing on all cylinders over there. And what is this starting to show us? That we are going to have one major battle on our hands over in Rome, which is just going to be the best way to end one of the most amazing seasons thus far that I've seen on the PGA Tour. But, I'm very, very bullish on Justin Thomas right now.
Are you buying into Justin Thomas? 312-332-3776. By the way, this segment sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. I'm starting to buy in a little bit here. I think the time off was good for him. Got him a little bit of time to reset, knowing that, it was made official a week or two ago that he was going to be a member of this Ryder Cup team. I think all along he probably knew and was training for it accordingly. And I think that he just needed to get in a mental space where he knew he could regain and recapture his old self and get back to the Justin Thomas that a year ago won the PGA Championship in comeback fashion and still had that killer golf mentality within him. And I think you're starting to see him get back to that point now. I'm not saying he's going to be the best thing on the Americans team, because I don't think that's going to be the case. But I think he is a necessary part of the American team as long as things are going right. If things aren't going right with JT, then this play thing could be in a lot of trouble. But right now, things seem to be trending in the right direction. And that's all you can ask for Justin Thomas, who had the shakiest 2023 of anybody on the Ryder Cup team.
He did, and I think, to your point, we're going to get a very healthy, I think a very hot Justin Thomas in comparison to what he's been all year. That's only, you know, good thing for the American team for sure. But, yeah, I think his presence, playing well, but being the voice, being the confident voice, the guy that's showing up saying, look what I was able to do with all the pressure on me, turn around, you know, play in this event and do well. That's only going to get the whole mojo going in the locker room. And, you know, through his actions versus even words, I think he's making a statement. But then he's going to be the ultimate cheerleader, the ultimate thorn in the European side is what I'm hoping. And I'll go back to what I said last week. If I'm, especially now, after what I'm seeing Justin Thomas do, I'm having him hit the first ball in Rome. I just am. I'm going to put him
it
out there.
It feels like a no-doubter now.
Yeah. I mean, you've just got to get that momentum. Let's get the momentum going Friday morning, and let's let it end Sunday night. I mean, that's really what's going to have to happen. And I think Justin Thomas is just the guy, and I think he is got the intangibles to do exactly what it is we need to do. Because, you know, when you look at who's missing on both sides, I think your point earlier about the experience and what the Americans have is that's what we're going to have to rely on. And I think John Rahm's comments about how they left Sergio, not even like they banned him, is the most idiotic thing. And so that's John Rahm's words, not mine. But he, too, is pointing to experience. I mean, why wouldn't the Europeans want to, even as a vice captain, a coach, anything, to have that on your side? Because I think, to your point, experience is going to play a big, big part in settling who's going to retain or earn the Ryder Cup.
No doubt about it. All right, when we come back, there was someone who was not happy with their presence being left off of the Ryder Cup team. We'll discuss that when we come back. If you want to join us here, 312-332-3776. Are you buying in on Justin Thomas now that he's having a little bit of success here as we get closer and closer to shipping on over to Rome for this year's Ryder Cup? 312-332-3776. More to come here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at destination Geneva National.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment is brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. Mike's out at the PGA Tour Superstore, their new grand opening in Lincoln Park, 9 a.m. today, 1745 West Fullerton. 1745 West Fullerton, right off of the Fullerton exit. You'll see the PGA Tour Superstore. You can't miss it. It is just you drive down Fullerton there, and it is in your face. Cannot miss it. So go check it out. Go check out Mike. He's over there right now over in Lincoln Park. You want to join us? 312-332-3776. We've been talking a lot about the Ryder Cup. Who's on? That is Justin Thomas, and he is playing with a little bit of momentum now as we inch closer and closer to Rome. But one guy who's frustrated about not being a part of the U.S. team this year, that would be Dustin Johnson, who says that because he is not on the PGA Tour, that is ultimately why he is not on the Ryder Cup. He admitted he hasn't been playing his best golf this year, but he is claiming that defecting to live, the reason why he is not a part of this year's Ryder Cup team. And I largely agree with it. I think that's why he's not a part of this team. I don't agree with the decision because we are seeing a live player on the U.S. Ryder Cup team. That would be Brooks Koepka, who Zach Johnson called an easy pick for this year's team. But I think DJ's a guy that I would have tried to find a spot for, and maybe I would have even tried to find a spot for Bryson as well. I think this could be a year where you could beat Europeans on their own turf just by having a little bit more experience than them in an event like this.
Oh, there's no doubt. And, I mean, you know, DJ is a guy that I would have thought after the most amazing Ryder Cup in at Whistling Straits for the American side, he went 5-0, and we tend to forget that. We were ready to throw a huge parade for DJ. He was the most beloved guy in Wisconsin. He played in every single match and came away with a win, and it didn't matter who he played with. But more importantly, I think he and Brooks would have been a formidable twosome, and I think would have really made, I think, the United States team even stronger than what we are currently. But he did get snubbed, and he's quite honest about it, and I tend to agree with him. That's the reason that he was left off. But admittedly, he hasn't played the best year of the last few by any stretch of the imagination. Still a good year, and for many of us, a great year. But I do think, in the case of a Dustin Johnson, that without an end prize like a Ryder Cup, and I don't know that he is as motivated without there being a carrot at the end of this thing. So I'm hopeful that for the years going forward that we, you know, get this arrangement between PIF and the PGA Tour that allows these guys to be back into the mix. Because Dustin Johnson is a special player. He is the best athlete on the PGA Tour. Or live tour for that matter. He can dunk a basketball even still at this age, and he's just an unbelievable athletic specimen, and he would be an absolute advantage for the American team should he been able to make it. But again, didn't have the greatest year, so he was an easy person to leave off, I think, in the eyes of Zach Johnson. But had he played the PGA Tour, I tend to agree with DJ. I think he would have been picked.
And I don't even think he would have had to play that well on the PGA Tour. I mean, just look at the season that Justin Thomas put together this year. Finishes outside the top 70. Doesn't qualify for the FedEx Cup playoffs. Like, he wouldn't even have to have played that well. He just would have had to have been on the PGA Tour, it felt like. And again, I think DJ, even though he didn't have a great season, probably would have still made the FedEx Cup playoffs this year. But I don't think he would have had to have even had that great of a season on the PGA Tour. And I'm not second-guessing his decision to hop on over to live. But I am saying, like, that is one of the things that all these guys knew was a possibility when they did make the leap over to the live tour, is that there could be certain stipulations or there could be different ways that the golf world looks at you now that you are no longer a part of the prominent tour in American golf.
Yeah, and I think that they knew that going in, but I wonder if they really thought it would happen. And I guess now the reality of the situation has played itself out. I wish we could give them all some truth venom and really ask them, now knowing what you know, would you have done this again? But leaving DJ off, and to your point, even Bryson, I mean, Brooks, DJ, and Bryson earned half of the points that the American team had in 2021. So these three know what they're doing. They understand big-time pressure. They all have done well in major championships throughout their career. So the Ryder Cup is just a natural extension of who they are and what they do. So do I think we put the very best team we could have out there? No, but I don't think the Europeans have either. And quite honestly, I think it would have been, I think, a more fair fight if we would have just said either live guys are in for both teams, or live guys are out for both teams. But we do get the one advantage. We do have Brooks, so we'll see where that takes us. But I feel bad for a guy like DJ because I think he's going to play on future Ryder Cup teams. And to be left off of this one because of this, as we look back in history, this little moment of time between the PGA Tour and PIF, and, you know, where will we be 5-10 years now looking back on this saying, boy, was that a big mistake? You know, a lot of consternation over a lot of nothing is really, when it's all said and done.
Yeah. Are you worried that some of the wind is going to be taken out of the sails of this year's Ryder Cup?
A little bit, because I think that there's a built-in excuse now. I think there's an ability for the Europeans to say, well, we didn't fare so well. We got, you know, we got annihilated, or, you know, we were steamrolled once again because of the fact that we didn't have these guys. We likewise can say the same thing. We only took Brooks when we should have probably taken DJ and Bryson. I think it will always have an asterisk or a cloud over it in some way. It'll always be known as the Ryder Cup in Rome, but it was missing the villains, and it was the first year. That was the year that we left all the Europeans off. I think that's how this Ryder Cup will always be referenced, to the two teams that wish they could have had different teams.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I think even though it's to a lesser degree on the American side, but like there still feels like there's a missing piece to this whole thing. And it is because of the way that LIV sort of changed everything. And it sucks for guys like DJ. It sucks for guys like Bryson. Brooks is the one that's made out like a bandit through this whole thing. I mean, think about it. He's going to be a part of the Ryder Cup team. He won a major this year. Like, everything has sort of gone his way. But it's something, too, that, yeah, I think you're right. This is going to be one of those Ryder Cups that just sort of has an asterisk next to it, and it sucks. Maybe it sucks a little bit more for the European side of things than the American side of things here, but this is something that I think... Hopefully, this is the last time we see any sort of stipulations like this in terms of roster construction moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, we can only hope. I mean, that's all we can do. We have to deal with what we have, and this is the team that we're going to go to bat with. And it is too bad. I mean, I guess, again, we go back, look back at this and say, you know, what would life been like had DJ been picked, or what would have happened had this happened? But, you know, we got to continue to look through the windshield and not the rearview mirror. I mean, that's just the way it has to go. But, you know, what it's interesting as we start to learn a little bit more through various interviews and from different players that we've chatted with over time, who's had discussions with Zach Johnson all along and who hasn't. It's clearly evident to me that Zach Johnson was talking with Brooks Koepka throughout the entire year. But it doesn't sound like DJ or Bryson or any of the rest of the LIV players, Taylor Gooch and all the rest, had any form of, you know, relationship communication with Zach throughout the summer. And I think those guys all knew the writing was on the wall. I think DJ knew he wasn't even going to be considered for a pick months before we did.
I would tend to agree with you there. I do think there was a line of communication all along. So, speaking of Taylor Gooch, by the way, you brought his name up. He's going to join us at 9 o'clock today. So looking forward to that conversation as LIV Golf is coming to Rich Harvest Farms this coming weekend. So that'll be taking place in the Chicagoland area. Taylor Gooch will join us at 9 o'clock this morning. You want to join us, 312-332-3776. Eddie's on the north side. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, boys. Yeah, so the LIV Tour changed everything, but I think for the better. I mean, is this the last gripe of where they're not taking DJ on it? Then turn it over to a draft. Draft for the Ryder's Cup. Make it more exciting on that point of view of it. You know, is this something that they're still trying to hold against the LIV with the PGA? Because I thought they were combining and everything. So, you know, if he should have been on there, then why isn't he on there? You know, like we're all saying that, you know, it's not good that he's not on there or these other players. Well, have a draft board. I mean, tradition's out the door now since that little move in baseball where they put a mystery player in extra innings that doesn't get a hit, didn't get a walk, and baseball's about as old as tradition is golf. in the golf world can change also.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Eddie. Listen, I just don't think this is going to be an issue moving forward. So we're going to get to 2025 and be right back in the spot where we were a couple years ago.
Well, and I also think, to be honest with you, that, you know, we've over time, when I was involved with Ryder Cup dating back to 1991, it was the top 10 plus two picks. And, in fact, there was a time that if you won the PGA Championship the year of the Ryder Cup. Now, remember, the PGA Championship used to be played for many, many years and decades in August. So after, if you won the PGA Championship, there was a time you were immediately put on the team for that one win that one week. But over time, we've changed that. And now we've gone to, in essence, half the team is a draft. And that is to allow for situations such as the Justin Thomas, or to be able to, from a captain's perspective, bring chemistry into this thing, really analyze the analytics and the pairings, and use that information and data to help select the best team that will actually work well together and not be a team of 12 individuals. And we've seen, if you look back in history, we're awesome at picking 12 individuals and not necessarily the team. And when the past 30 years are basically proof in the pudding that the Europeans are much better at it at selecting their teams than we are.
All right, when we come back, Tiger Woods has a tip for amateur golfers like myself and like Mike. He'll share that with you when we come back here. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, this is the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan. Mike's out at the PGA Tour Superstore today, 1745 West Fullerton in Chicago, Lincoln Park neighborhood, right off of the Fullerton exit in Lincoln Park. You want to join us? 312-332-3776. So, Mike, we oftentimes will look to the internet to find our latest golf tip, get rid of that slice, what's wrong, why are you hooking the ball, all that stuff. You'll look to the internet, you'll go to YouTube, you'll go to TikTok and all that stuff. It just appears in your feed from time to time. But this was Tiger Woods. This was a video that came out a couple days ago. I don't know if this was like a recent video or what. He actually looks pretty good physical shape-wise here. But this was Tiger Woods with an amateur tip for people trying to get better as weekend hackers like myself.
What's the one tip that you would give an amateur if he or she wanted to just
don't watch YouTube?
Okay. What's the second one that's called balls?
Don't watch YouTube.
Don't hit balls. But just beating balls?
Just beating balls.
So you heard him. Go out, hit some balls, and stop watching effing YouTube. But I want to know from you, Mike, because like for me and someone certainly in my demographic, there's so much golf content on the internet, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff. And I've picked up little things here or there that I feel like have improved my golf game. But I want to ask you, how much do you rely on the internet to improve your game?
Well, you know, it's funny. I do disagree with Tiger to a certain extent. I think if you were going to watch YouTube for all your golf content and education, the problem is you got to be able to know which theories of teaching that you want to continue to listen to and not get confused by, because there's different methodologies of teaching and different swing theories, if you will. So I tend to watch the YouTube videos that are specific to stacking and tilting and shallowing out clubs, you know, the new way of swinging, if you will. But I can also see by watching older videos it would absolutely confuse me because, you know, it's a different way of swinging the club. So you could be getting bad information, even though it is good information for one person, it could be bad for you. So I think if you can come up with teachers or programs that fit your swing, your style, in the manner to which you want to play, then I think YouTube's a very healthy thing to watch, and it's actually benefited me throughout the year. I sometimes pick up the best cues in the morning before I go out to play because it's said in a different way. They used a different way to explain something that I've been working on for over a week, and it just clicks. So, but to Tiger's point, there's nothing better than practicing and actually getting out on the range and trying to work it out and figure it out on your own. But the basis of knowledge isn't a bad one, whether you read it in a book or you watched it literally on you know, a YouTube video or a TikTok. I even find TikTok can be very helpful. But again, following the right personality, the right type of teacher, and the right swing theory that best fits your game.
I think that's the important part there is you take one and you translate it to the other. Like, go out and find whatever video, whatever tip that is going to help improve your game. But also, you got to put it into action a little bit, too. You have to practice whatever tip you are seeing. So sometimes it is helpful before a practice session or before you go and hit the range to maybe take a little scroll, take a little look and see if there's anything that can help fix your swing, can help get you going from breaking 90. Like, go out and find the tip, but then go see if it works for you, too, because you don't want to just find a tip on the internet somewhere and then the first time you apply it is your next round. Like, because then things can really go haywire if you've never practiced a little swing tweak here or there.
Exactly. And for me, the swing that I'm trying to emulate is Tommy Fleetwood. I'm still far from it, but all I'll do is watch Tommy Fleetwood hit balls just because I was always an observer. I could watch and emulate people real well. So I just like to watch what he does, where his right elbow is, you know, on the downswing and how he gets it to the position he does and that kind of thing. So for me, watching very specific swings and for, you know, what I call swing prompts or swing keys is what I do. And for me, Tommy Fleetwood, if that's the guy I would love to swing and strike the golf ball like.
That's a great call there because Tommy's one of those guys, not the biggest guy on the tour. He's not going to hit it the furthest, but I think he kind of goes, like, his swing and his technique is everything that the everyday golfer should be trying to emulate because of the fact that it is so technical. And you're right. Like, I remember you saying this a couple of months ago when we were on the show about how much you love Tommy's swing, and I couldn't agree more with you because he may have the most technical and prettiest swing on the entire tour. And the way that he just is just a technician out there, everything sort of makes sense. So, yeah, I would say that's a guy. Certainly you want to emulate that. And there's just, like, little tips that you pick up here and there on social media, on YouTube, all that stuff that I think can be beneficial. You know, it's funny. Our buddy James Colgan, he actually wrote a piece about something that was kind of related to this. And he was like, I'm almost ashamed to be saying this, but this little tip that I picked up from TikTok is something that has allowed me to shoot in the 80s consistently this summer. And I think he even broke 80 once this summer as a result of this. But it's a tip that he found from this guy. And he said, just take a frying pan in your dominant hand. And then when you swing through, go like a half swing, and when you get to your downswing, see what angle the frying pan is, and that'll tell you if you're slicing it or not. And if you just adjust how you're swinging the frying pan, that will really help you, where you can see the face of the frying pan. If it's square and like pointing down, then you know you're going to start to fix your slice. But if it's pointing out and away, then you'll see that, oh, your wrists are not in the right angle and all that, and that's really messing up your swing and ultimately causing your slice. And he says it really helped him, and he was ashamed to say, like, the reason why I've had such a better summer on the golf course is because of a TikTok video that I found.
And you know what, the same thing happened to me, because at the time, my swing, I wasn't getting the club all the way back, and I just stumbled across a video that talked about how you got to get deeper with your right shoulder on the turn. Just simply make your right shoulder go back deeper, and it worked. But the other thing that I found was when they told me about how important where the right hand is, and it goes right along with that frying pan scenario, is how the right wrist or palm is actually down as you pull the club back. We have the tendency to want to roll our right hand up with palm up instead of really palm down. And once I made that discovery, my ball striking and my shot dispersion narrowed up real fast because, again, I did not realize how important having that right hand for getting that face angle to be proper was so critical. And you set it after the first, call it 14 to 28 inches as you pull the club back. That, to me, solved a lot of problems in my swing. And where did I learn it? TikTok.
Yep, it is pretty crazy. Now, I don't watch a lot of YouTube, but I'll stumble into the TikTok videos, and then I'll just bookmark them and then go back to them right before I go to the range. I will go back, just kind of scroll through some of the ones that I've bookmarked and say, all right, I'm going to try to work on something like this today, or I'm going to work on that today, and just see which one makes the most sense for whatever practice session I'm about to engage in.
But see, for you, you now know what works for you because
right.
You know your swing. You just didn't download any old videos. You got the ones that best resonate with what you're trying to accomplish and where you know you are currently in your swing. So I tend to disagree with Tiger. I wouldn't, just be watching any old video. But I think if you put certain filters on them, I think the YouTube, the TikToks, the Instagrams all can be very beneficial because you get to actually hear, you get to see, and that way you can actually emulate versus trying to read words off of a page like we used to have to do this before all this technology came into our world.
But ultimately, you do have to go out and put it in action, like you said.
Yeah, like, it's what we call going to the rock pile. You kind of got to get out there, and you just got to start hitting shells. And if you ask anybody, most of these, because the question really was, how does somebody, an amateur, become a professional? And it is through hard work, sweat and equity, blisters, calluses on the hands, and just repetitive motion and trying to build a muscle memory that will be there when you need it, when you're playing for that, that Coca-Cola or that extra dollar, or you're playing in a club tournament. That's when you need to be able to repeat what you're doing on the range when you need it at that moment in time. And that's why golf is the greatest game.
All right. When we come back, we'll take your calls. How much do you use social media for trying to improve your golf game? 312-332-3776. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf. We'll take your calls when we come back on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. We talk golf with you every single Saturday right here on ESPN 1000. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we will talk with Taylor Gooch from the LIV Tour as LIV Golf is coming to Rich Harvest Farms this upcoming weekend. So we will talk with Taylor Gooch about all that stuff that is taking place out in Sugar Grove later on this week. You want to join us, 312-332-3776. Do want to take a little quick spin around the BMW Championship of what is taking place over in England right now on the DP World Tour. A couple of notable names, too, for Ryder Cup purposes. Ludvig Åberg, who is one of the big names that Americans maybe aren't too familiar with, but is a part of the European Ryder Cup team. He currently is tied for the lead right now, along with Thomas Dettry. They're both 13 under, followed by John Rahm, who, of course, will be on the European team. He's at 12 under. Tommy Fleetwood, who we were just talking about a little bit, at 11 under right now. So, and then if you go down a little bit further on the leaderboard, Victor Hovland is currently tied for ninth at 9 under. So there are quite a few of these Europeans that we will be seeing in the Ryder Cup, having a nice little final tune-up round before the Ryder Cup officially gets underway.
Well, they are about to let the crowd in here. That was the big roar.
Okay, all right. By the way, Mike is over at PGA Tour Superstore, 1745 West Fullerton in Lincoln Park. So they are cutting the ribbon and getting set to go here as they get ready to open up at 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, they're giving away $30,000 worth of merchandise, and the guy that was camped,
I mean, is Michael
here,
Jordan walking through that entrance
right
now?
They've got a DJ here, and here comes the first guy. He's been camped out since midnight.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. Here they all come in. It's like a big parade.
Have you ever camped out for an event before? Like, I remember it used to be the big thing to camp out for Madden. Everyone would camp out outside of, like, GameStop for Madden. People would camp outside for tickets and stuff like that. I've seen people camp outside theaters before there's a big show. But camping out outside the PGA Tour Superstore, that is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, most of the time you go to a concert and they're all camped out and they're in their concert T-shirts and they're all, you know, music buffs and friends. These are all golfers. I mean, they're coming in with khakis.
Everyone's
on
in their Travis
shoes.
Matthew and all that.
It's the funniest thing. I mean, you can't believe it. It's just a whole cadre of golfers just streaming in. It's awesome.
So they have opened the doors officially?
Yeah, they really have. And people are coming by getting their ESPN, CDGA headwear. I mean, it is a celebration to be had. I've never been to an opening quite like this. They only can limit so many people in at a time. But literally, Tyler, the line goes all the way out to Fullerton.
That's amazing. And that is a big parking lot, too.
It's a huge parking lot, and that's the beauty of this place. You don't have to pay to park, and it's right here. I mean, it's not like you got to go down the street, around the corner, and hope your car is still there when you get back. It's right here. This is like suburban living in the city.
It really is. So, yeah, Mike's over at the PGA Tour Superstore. We'll talk with the general manager of PGA Tour Superstore, John Camacho, coming up at 9:35. But go check it out, 1745 West Fullerton in Chicago, the Lincoln Park area, right off the Fullerton exit if you're heading downtown. All right, when we come back, we will talk with Taylor Gooch on the LIV Golf Tour. He will join us when we come back here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.